This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You were in Romania. You were loving it.
Oh, I had a ball. No, it's just very difficult. I think, you know, we're doing a... luckily, I got back to England most weekends, so I didn't have to spend much time there on my off days, as they say.
Right.
But the film was, when we were doing it, also, when you're doing those films, they're quite difficult to make. A lot of CG work, you know, and a lot of stunt stuff and repeating it. But actually, it was a 12-week shoot, which is a long right. shoot. Yeah, but it was fun. I liked David Cunningham. And the kid was great, Alex Ludwig. He's a terrific kid. So, anyway, that's months ago now.
But this is such a different kind of shoot, because as opposed to the CGI and the stunts, it's just about keeping up with these comedians.
Well, not really, because this isn't... I mean, it wasn't kind of keeping up with them. I mean, it was... You know, I mean, most of my stuff was with Andy. It was physical, which we rehearsed two weeks before we did the movie. We had a lot of sessions up in Vancouver. And that was fun. Right. And then I was very impressed by Akiva, who's, you know, I mean... It's his first feature, but it's not his first barbecue, you know. I mean, they've been doing this, these kids have been doing it since they were like 15, you know, making short films and whatever. So it was very professional, and Sissy and I just sort of threw ourselves in, and it was easy. It seemed very natural. A lot of fun to do. I hope it's fun to watch.
It is.
Right? Yeah. Good.
I'm just curious for you, in terms of getting into this comedy, how did this script come to you, and were you surprised at all that it came your way, it being such a, you know, crazy physical comedy?
Well, I used to do a series in England of my own called Lovejoy, which was much more, I mean, a sort of comedy drama. But they obviously didn't know me from that. I mean, they just saw me as probably in as Al Swearengen and wanted a badass to play Frank, you know. But hoping that you'd do a bit of comedy. That's why there wasn't too much written down. That probably why they gave him a heart attack. I mean, after the opening sentences, Frank is pretty much for the rest of the movie. But no, it worked out very well, and it was fun to. It's fun to. But you know, I come from a, you know, the English acting school, which is pretty much, you know, anything that comes. You're not, I mustn't, I have this image as whatever. We don't have that kind of thing. And you come from theatre, TV, go back and forth, films, so there's no kind of, you mustn't do that because it'll impinge on what you may want to do next. So you very much, I want to do what I want to do, so nobody's going to tell me what to do. If something comes along, or comedy, or if it's drama, or necessarily whatever, it's going to spoil your image. Image of what, you know? For whose image? For you. Who is that image you're looking at? No, we don't have that kind of thing.
Have you heard of this young guy, Andy Samberg, before
him? Yeah, I'd heard him on, I mean, the SNL, but... SNL? Yeah, SNL. So savings and loan. No, but obviously I've seen that, but I mean, I've gone back to SNL when it was, you know, Belushi and all the gang then. But then I went, when I met them, and I read the script they sent it me, and then I said, yeah. And then I had lunch with them. Then I went on the web and watched on their, you know, Lonely Island and watched a few things and became intrigued. So now I'm a fan.
You're also cast as this rugged all-American. Has that happened more since Deadwood?
Oh, sure, you know. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people, you know, it's as if you never did any work before Deadwood. But that's kind of understandable. It's kind of nice, you know. It puts you in a whole different light. I mean, I'm just lucky they couldn't cast anyone in America before they did Deadwood. You know, they looked, I mean, because I wasn't Milch's idea of Al Swearengen, I don't think. Except when I read the script, I was, you know, I'd have hung him out the fucking window if he hadn't cast me. But that's a different thing. But no, the audiences, you know, don't know you. They know you for certain things or whatever. I mean, but when you do something like that, which has such an impact as Deadwood, obviously, that the whole scenery changes for you in views of what you know, agents look at you as and whatever, and casting people, suddenly they see it in a whole different light.
Speaking of Al Swearengen, do you think you'll ever be able to... Do you think the TV movies or the HBO specials, whatever they were talking about doing to wrap it all up, will ever happen?
Well, today's fiction is that, yeah, they still want to do the two-hour movies, they say. But they can't make a deal. I mean, David's just finished doing that, John from Cincinnati, right? And that's finished, I think, just like 3 weeks ago they finished shooting. So there was no chance. And I had a window because I speak to Timothy Oliphant all the time, Tim. And Tim and I were like, he's just finished doing a film in Europe, and I'd finished doing the thing in Romania. And we had a window of like 3 months because I'm going to do a Broadway show. I'm going to do a Harold Pinter play. I'm going to do a Homecoming on Broadway. So we could have done it. But, you know, David had just finished. He's not going to jump into this eventually. So that wasn't going to happen this summer. So maybe it'll happen next year. We'd like to think so, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Well, only for the fact it's very difficult once the thing's gone to bring everybody together again. And no, and Milch doesn't work that way. Milch isn't going to suddenly write a screenplay and then give it in. That's not the way he works. We never had a script when we were doing Deadwood. So to expect a screenplay would be a little, sort of pie in the sky thinking. David doesn't work that way. David works in a very... It's not an improvising way for us, but I mean, he improvises his own way of doing scenes, and that's why we were lucky when we did Deadwood, the fact that it was all done and we were in a specific location where everybody was there. You know, on Santa Clarita Ranch, the writers were there, the actors were there, all the sets were there, all the horses were there, the editors were there, the costumes. We were all in our own community. That's why they could do, and it was an open-ended series in the sense that some episodes took 15 days, some took 23 days, some took 28 days, some took, you know, nothing less than 14 days, though. So very much its own show. So to get it together as a feature film might be a little difficult. But, you know, we were hoping it will happen.
Did you ever hear what the premise of the movies were going to be?
No, not a word. Not a word. Except it would take place a few years after. It would, and that's what you would allow him to do. That's what a film would allow him to do rather than a series. Because every show in the Deadwood, the TV series, was a day in the life of, you know, a day in the life of Deadwood, be it a day or a night in the life of Deadwood. It always took place over 24 hours. It never jumped, but a film would enable him to play with time and space a bit more. And we'll see what he comes up with.
How important is it for you to get back on stage?
It's not important, I don't think. It's just when something comes up that appeals. And then they called me at the end of last year and said, you know, we'd like, you know, would you want to do, we're doing reviving The Homecoming, it's 40 years since it was done, and it just happens to be 40 years since I did last thing to play on Broadway. Would you want to do Max and the Homecoming? And I read it again and thought, oh wow, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't. And Pinter's having a kind of a renaissance again. Right. They've just done Betrayal in London, which opened to great reviews. I did that 20 years ago here in LA, and I did The Caretaker on television. So I have a history with Harold, I know him, my wife did a play he directed 15 years ago, and it just seems a perfect time, you know, to do it.
But does it recharge your batteries?
Oh, in a different way. Yeah, of course it does. I mean, last thing I did was Witches of Eastwick on the musical,
right,
on stage. Six years ago, and I mean, I wasn't entirely successful. I wasn't really delirious about that, but it taught you a lot. And I mean, if any gig teaches you, that's what it should always do. Acting. You know, you don't stop learning shit just because you're my age and in this business. I mean, this film, Rod, you know, Hot Rod, it's good. Never done a physical comedy like that. So you learn something every time out. When you don't is when you should start worrying, you know, when it's just rote. When it's like, and serious television can be like that, I have a feeling, you know. I mean, I did Lovejoy. You tried to keep that fresh. But in the end, you find yourself little retreading. You think. That's why Deadwood was never like that. That was never like that because... It was never conventional. He always brought other elements into it.
What did you learn working on The Golden Compass?
The Golden Compass. Yeah. Well, that's weird because I was the first person to work on that. And last year I went over to do the voice. And then obviously they've made the film since then. And it was exactly a year later. And they called back in to revoice because they've decided to do various changes. So, and I only saw this one particular scene which they haven't even finished yet. They're doing. So that's really a work in progress. And but that playing around with it's just fun doing voiceovers. It's real fun making characters come alive for animation. That's great.
Did you read the book and have a
Never read the book, not at all. Absolutely, didn't have time last year, and I haven't read it in between. Been too busy, which is nice. But no, I played the bad bear in that, and I think they brought McKellen in to play the good bear, haven't they? I think, yeah. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of.
Well, he is a sir, you know.
A lot of your peers have been talking about trying to book a lot of work, and they're getting pressure from the studio to book a lot of work before that strike.
Oh, the so-called
strike.
Don't mention the strike.
Well, hey, you know, actually, last weekend we had two actors brought it up to us. So, would you have any trepidation of going and doing Broadway now when you could be making film or TV work and then doing Broadway while the strike's happening?
No, I don't think that way. I don't think it'll happen anyway. But I don't even, you know, I don't really know. That's all, yeah, get as many, it's all about get as much money as you can. No, I mean, I've got plenty of money. I don't care about that, you know. No, it's, it is what it is, I believe, and, you know, that the play, what, if I said now, no, I'd like to do the play when we go on strike, so yeah. I'm going to try and do as much as I can now, and you can hold off. No, and you don't do that to people. I already said that.
You talk about your character in Darkest Rising.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an Obi-Ben Kenobi, like a mentor to this to the kid, to Ludwig, who's this kid of this family who come to, you know, the dad's on a sabbatical in London at a, you know, at the school, and he finds out suddenly he's a superhero. He doesn't know why. Francis Conroy plays the woman. We're all these eccentric people who live in the house on the hill in the village, and we've sort of, you know, been around forever. The old ones. Very apt name, I think. The old ones, but he's an expert in everything. And Chris Eccleston plays the bad guy, the writer, the dark, whatever. And that's as much as I know, but they're getting on with that one, because I think that comes out in October. They're really pushing that one ahead. Yeah, it was again, it was different working with some, but actually, but on that, he's a documentary maker, Cunningham. And it was interesting. He worked with four cameras most of the time. Four movie cameras. I mean, I've done it, you know, you do four video cameras, you do something. And, hey, but he worked with four cameras all the time, which is, you know, very interesting. It can be a little frustrating sometimes, but unseen. But, I mean, it gives him, that's the way he works, Cunningham. He did that Path to 9/11.
Right.
The TV movie about whatever. Politics were a little jarring, but...
Did Francis make you take home one of those dogs?
Oh, God, no. I mean, did she take home one?
I think she adopted a whole bunch of them.
Well, I was just worried about what they were going to eat when she left, because she was buying them very expensive dog food. And when they left, who was going to buy them? The dogs would be saying, Francis, at the airport. Where's our dog food? You know, it's all very well feeding them great when you're there. And then and she goes, and who's left to pick up the... Mind you, they could have fed what they were feeding us. It was the same thing, you know.
But I have to ask you, you said that you guys did a lot of stunt work between you and Andy on this film.
Hmm.
But in real life, who would win in one of those films?
Oh, me. Andy, wimp. No chance. Next.
What's how about working... I'm sorry. How about working with Sissy?
Now, then there's the thing, you see. Now, I did it for a movie with Sissy 2 years ago. A very rather arty, independent art house movie for Rodrigo Garcia called Nine Lives, in which I was a paraplegic. Now, this time I play a man who needs a heart transplant, so I think I can. I don't need to see Miss Spacek for a good few years, because God knows what shape I'd be in next time.
What's the appeal of doing a comedy like Hot Rod? I mean, obviously, aside from just having a good time.
Different audience, I think. Different, knowing the young people that want to see this, and it's very intriguing to be part of, you know, as I said, the young Turks like Andy and all this lot, Andy and Akiva, and yet a new audience who'll see it. We've never, you know, maybe they've seen Deadwood or they think it's something else. It's fun. And it's fun doing a different genre of work. Rather than having, you know, mammoth Shakespearean speeches and then, you know, but the one difference you do notice is that, you know, on Deadwood you could do a 3-page speech and then you finish and they say, right, we're over here. On this, you walk off the pavement with a stuntman and they applaud you at the end of a shot, you know. It's kind of, I've never understood that in movies. Why getting hurt needs, you get applause for being arty gets you nowhere.
Are you guys up for Emmys this year, or has it already been years?
Technical, I think. Technical. I didn't even know. I only got in from London on Friday, and I think Johnny Rizzo is a close friend of the guy makeup. I think they got about the 6 Emmys for the technical area, which whatever it is. But I mean, you can't take those things too seriously. I mean, if you look at the list of people who's won Emmys and Golden Globes, don't get too impressed with yourself, you know. They shouldn't. What? No names, no pagdo, but it's absolutely true over the years, you know. And it's also, I mean, I said to Anthony LaPaglia when we both, I mean, I think Anthony won it the year before I won it, Golden Globe. And we both said it was a mistake, but I think we slipped a mistake somewhere. But, you know, you take it. It's very nice, and you thank very much, and then you get on with your life.
So if it isn't the award, what is it that makes you know that you're doing the great work?
I think you know that when you. Not particularly by your peers, but the work you do, you know, by other actors you trust or people whose opinion you like, or when the work comes out. You don't know it by awards, I don't think. That's a whole other area completely of getting honored for something. Now, and I would take nothing away from The Sopranos, because I thought that was a wonderful show, and always will be. But No, very rarely do you get to do something on a regular basis like Deadwood. That's why I think we all miss it. But on the other hand, I think he's lucky he got on in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, not many people would have put that on. I mean, now there's every channel wants their own show. I mean, you've got, and that's kind of nice that you've got shows on FX and you've got AMC are doing shows and the interesting ones. There's one about Madison Avenue in the 50s. I mean, these shows wouldn't have had a chance without shows like The Sopranos or our show or stuff that goes on, HBO. So, God bless them.
Besides Broadway and the feature films, is there ever any thought of you going back to doing a television show, like a one-hour drama? You know,
I never say no to anything. I mean, I think that would be, you cut your nose off. That would be stupid. Say, I will never do. I've never worked on network. I've never done. The only thing I did was years ago, before I went back. I was going back to do Lovejoy. And before I left, I did an arc on Dallas. The last year, yeah, in 89, before I went back to do Love. And that was kind of like, and they said, would I do an arc on it? I did like 11. And now that was, they were the nicest people in the world. They really were. Larry Hagman, it was a great show to work on. I'd never watched it before, but it was a lot of fun. I got to take Swellen away with me, I got to kidnap her and take her away from Larry Hagman. That's an odd thing to think about, but I think that was the last sort of network thing I did, you know. No, I did a thing on, and then I'd come back occasionally and do a thing like, I came back into a strange one, weird, so, you know, you're back in England, suddenly you get these phone calls. Will you come back and... I did a very interesting thing with Tia Leone, a very talented girl, who never seems to have found the right thing to break through something. She's great. I mean, I did this thing, Naked Truth. It was a half-hour sitcom back in the late 90s. I remember just after Dan had died. I remember I came back and played like a Lorne Michaels character, like her extremely rich, extremely successful media husband on it for two episodes. I found that was bizarre. I mean, that was fun to see how these... You know, how those half-an-hour sitcoms work, you know. The fact that they rewrite the script at the end of every day. You know, there's 25 writers come. Yeah. You know, and then you get a new script every day, and then you, at the end of the day, you rehearse it. At the end of every day, they all come in and watch you do a run-through of, well, it's only 21 minutes, isn't it, or something, you know, an entire half-an-hour sitcom. Then they all laugh hysterically at their own writing. And you think, it's not that fucking funny. Then they all go away, and you've got a new script the next day. And that goes on for 3 days, and then on Thursday and Friday, you go in the studio, and you do it. Very strange experience. I mean, the whole thing and how people long for that. I mean, I'm sure that's a great way of making money. What is it? They did on Friends, what, 20 minutes a week you do?
Million an episode.
Right.
God bless them. I'd rather they had it than the studios, you know. Sure, I mean, if they're paying them $1 million, you know the studios ain't running short of money, right? It's like football players. Everybody goes now, because they're soccer players. They're suddenly making money, you know. Wow, how can you be paying them $100,000 a week? You say, well, if they're paying them that, you know they're making that.
Right.
So what are we arguing? I'd rather they got it. And,
right.
You know, I don't go to see films for whose name, you know, for Universal Presents, you know.
Right.
I'm curious, when you're making a film like Hot Rod, so much of the comedy is sort of surreal and strange. When you're on set, how do you know it's working?
No, it's sober. No, you never know, I don't think. I think you know it's just it's a very serious way of working. I mean, they're quite serious, the guys, about the way they do it. And constantly changing it or doing little tweaks, whatever. And that's why you change it so, you know, and the stuff isn't always done in a long shot. I mean, whether they're editing on the cut or they're editing, you know, when you're doing it. It's good. It's very professional.
How much of the fight was actually you? The fights were actually you?
Most of it, I think, apart from... I haven't seen it, but I mean, I remember doing it. Most of it, apart from being pulled through the wall, you know, the smashing through the wall. And most of it. We did pretty good on that.
Did you
any
get injuries? Yeah, any bumps and bruises? Or
No, I tried.
Andy a little rough? Or?
I tried. No, he's not rough. He's a wimp.
Did you give yourself kind of a backstory of why is Frank the way he is? Like...
Oh, no, never question that on a show like this. No, just go ahead and do it. No, no. Oh, no, no. Don't get involved in psychological discussions on a physical comedy. No. Why am I doing this? I said, that's what Akiva would love to hear. Why are you doing this? Because it's in the script. And you're getting your check at the end of the week.
Did you have any scenes that were taken out that we might see on the DVD?
I have no idea. I don't think so. I don't know. I've seen the. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'll see it next week at the premiere. I'll go along with them.
Okay.
to see the movie, so hope I enjoy it.
I was wondering, you've done an iconic character in America and you've done an iconic character in the UK. Is there any thought of going to some other continent and doing another iconic character?
I may go back to Romania and play Ceausescu if they ever do it, but you know. No, I don't know. Where would you go? That's it, isn't it?
I mean, Australia, New Zealand.
No, Australians come here. Well, they come to England or here. There's no shows in Australia except from soap operas. You know, hello, mate. Good day. Fancy a swell on the beach? You know, whatever. I mean, they all leave there. There's a very thriving theatre scene there. But I mean, and Australians are very good actors. You know, there's a lot of them here and a lot of them in England. So they come, you know, they come there to seek their fame and fortune once they've conquered the theatre there, whatever they've done. But no, it's a nice place to visit, but no, I'd rather be here. Thank you. Cool. Are we done going?
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Have a good one. Thanks a lot, man.